Well, tonight we're on Psalm 54 as we continue through the Psalms. You might have noticed I skipped some Psalms, and the only reason was because I had already preached on those Psalms. And so I'm trying to preach about on those ones I have not preached on. Psalm 54. To the chief musician, with stringed instruments, a contemplation of David when the Ziphites went and said to Saul, "Is David not hiding with us? Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors have sought after my life. They have not set God before them. Selah. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye has seen its desire upon my enemies." I've titled this sermon, "Betrayed by Strangers, Saved by God." And we are told exactly what this psalm is about in its biblical title. Here we read, "To the chief musician, with stringed instruments, a contemplation of David when the Ziphites went and said to Saul, is David not hiding with us?" A contemplation means, thinking. And these are David's thoughts expressed in song, or in this psalm, about a particular time in his life, a very difficult time, when the Ziphites said to Saul, "Is David not hiding with us?" And we read about this particular event, or you could say events, because it actually happened twice. The Ziphites told on David. If you remember, David had defeated Goliath. And when he defeated Goliath, he became a hero in Israel. And he became the leader of Saul's army. Saul was king. And he was victorious every time he went out. And one of the times, you remember, when he came back victorious from battle, the women started singing something. Do you all remember what they sang? They sang about David. Louder. Yeah, Saul had slain his thousands, yes. And David his 10,000s. And how did Saul like that? He didn't care for that. And so even though David was his faithful follower, and David had supported Saul all along, Saul decided he would kill David. And so the Ziphites telling on David where he is, he's hiding among us, was a nasty thing to do, because David was going to be killed by Saul. And so we read that first. We read it in 1 Samuel 23:19 and 20. It says, "The Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeah, saying, 'Is David not hiding with us in the strongholds in the woods, in the hill of Hakalah, which is the south of Jesimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of your soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand.'" That's the first time it happened. Then you read again in in 1 Samuel 26, 1, it says, "Now the Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeah, saying, 'Is David not hiding in the hill of Hakilah opposite Jeshimon?'" And so twice they told on David, these same people. The first time, Saul came when they told him David was there, and he surrounded the mountain. But then the Philistines started attacking Israel, so Saul had to take his army away from David to defend from Israel. The second time Saul came in response to the Ziphites, David was able to enter Saul's camp while Saul was sleeping, and that was actually the second time he did that as well. He entered Saul's camp, and David, with opportunity to kill Saul, spared Saul. And he tells him that in chapter 26. And Saul is very apologetic, but Saul never really repented of coming after David. David, in the beginning of chapter 27, is bemoaning the idea that he's going to be running from Saul, he thought, for the rest of his life. So he prays. And here we see the prayer from that time period. And it starts in verses 1 and 2 with the prayer for salvation. "Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth." Psalm 54, 1 and 2. When we think of salvation, we typically think of salvation from sin and death and hell and all the things that happen at the end of our life, and we're praying for salvation from those things. But God can save us even now from things that we're going through that are difficult. And David was definitely going through a difficult time. He was being chased by Saul in the wilderness. And this was over a number of years that he was pursued by Saul. He had no home. He was out in the woods with a bunch of men that he had gathered around him, most of them criminals that were also hunted by Saul. And they became David's mighty men. So they're being chased, and yet here David is praying that God will protect him in this circumstance. And we can pray such prayers as well. Note David, when he was praying this, he did not receive immediately full salvation in answer to this. You know, there it happened twice, you could say. The Ziphites told on him twice. He got away one time. You could say God answered his prayer then. And then other things happened in David's life, and other things happened with Saul. And then David was hiding in the same place again, and the Ziphites told on him twice. As I said, there's two betrayals by the Ziphites, and it's interesting. You know, I titled the sermon, you know, "Betrayed by Strangers." And the reason is because David is going to call them strangers in this psalm. And yet the Ziphites were part of David's tribe. They were part of the tribe of Judah. They should have been friendly towards David. They should have probably protected David. But they decided, instead of protecting David, they would go with the powerful, lying King Saul. And why would you go with the liar who's in charge of everything rather than your own vulnerable kinsman? Well, I think they were worried that they would also get killed with David. They were looking at the power of the man and not looking at what was right and good in God's eyes. The second of these also resulted in the second time David spared Saul's life. And even though he spared Saul, David was discouraged. He was not confident that Saul would not prevail over him. We see this in verse 1 of 27. And David said in his heart, "Now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines." You know, the Philistines were his enemies. Goliath was a Philistine. And he's going to them. Is that desperate? You know, it's, and Saul will despair to seek me, meaning he'll finally, you know, he had already gone to a remote part of the kingdom when he went among the Ziphites and was in the wilderness. Saul chased him there, and yet he thinks if he goes among the Philistines, Saul won't chase him there. And he says, "To seek me anymore in any part of Israel, so I shall escape out of his hand." So here is David's own thinking. He's not always, you know, we can think, well, David should have had more faith than that, right? He defeated Goliath. God was with him. And yet, what was his circumstance? He was surrounded by an army and he was living out in the wilderness. And here's a man who had been praying to God. Did he get his answer immediately? No. So we see, we're to what? Pray without ceasing. We're to continue to pray. Even when we're in bad situations and it seems like God's not answering. Here David, for a short time, he wasn't long like this. He thought, surely I'm going to perish under Saul's hands. Even after he had been, you know, you could say there were short deliveries. The first time he was in trouble, Saul was sent away to battle the Philistines. The second time, he actually caught, if you think of how this must have been, there's a whole army. David had 400 men on his side. Saul maybe had, you know, close to 1 million on his side. I don't know how many of those were actually there in that battle. But David was extremely outnumbered. But still he was able to get into Saul's camp while everybody was sleeping without waking up anyone. Now you could say, well, that's because David was so skilled and all his men were so great at being quiet. Or it could have been that God in his providence allowed that to happen. He gave Saul's men a deep, 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 deep sleep. And I think that second part is just as likely as the first. He prayed for salvation about this situation, and he was both protected in the present, and then eventually what happens? David is king when Saul dies. And so he has a full answer to prayer. We pray for spiritual, moral salvation, and Christ prays with us. We have Christ praying with us even now. In Hebrews chapter 7, it says, "But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him," meaning praying in Jesus' name, "since he always lives to make intercession for them." What is Jesus doing right now as we are here in church? What's that? He's interceding. He's praying for us. As much as we pray for each other, can we outdo Jesus? No, he's praying for us. You could say 24/7, he ever lives to pray. Here, David in the psalm prays for vindication, not just salvation, but vindication. Because not only would his body be saved, but his reputation would be saved. You know what Saul was saying? He wasn't saying, well, David was so good to me, and that's why I'm hunting him, because he was good, and these women sang this song, and it bothered me, and that's why I'm out to kill David. He wasn't telling everybody that. He was telling everybody that David was a traitor, and he lied about David. And so some of David's own kinmen, the Ziphites, might have thought that David really had been a traitor. They should have known better, but David's reputation needed to be saved. Secondly, here is a prayer against strangers and oppressors. Here's verse 3. For strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors have sought after my life. They have not set God before them. Saul and his minions, Doeg the Edomite, back in Psalm 52, we read about Doeg the Edomite. He's the one who was Saul's kind of right-hand man in being nasty towards David. He was a horrible man who murdered the priests. He was one of the oppressors, along with whoever else was with Saul. Saul had a nation behind him and a nation's army, and they sought David's life, even to this wilderness of Ziph, a remote place. And then the strangers have risen up against me. Now the Ziphites, you could say maybe they did not know David, yet they were of David's own tribe, Judah. They were strangers, you know. Some of the commentators say, well, it couldn't have been the Ziphites because they weren't strangers. They were people who would have known David. And yet this doesn't apply to them. This psalm, the first mention of the Amalekites, which would have been strangers, is in 1 Samuel 27:8, which is outside the realm of this particular psalm. And so I think David is calling his own kinmen strangers, the Ziphites. Why would he call them strangers when they're his kinsmen? Well, because they were treating him like he was a stranger. They were treating him like they shouldn't know him. Like we need to get rid of this guy. We need to give him to Saul so that we can be safe. And so they're called strangers, even though they might not have been strangers, because they treated David as a stranger and they deserved to be treated as strangers. You know, it's one thing that I think is shown in Scripture is families are supposed to stick up for families. Fathers, you know, we're to honor our father and mother. We're to stick up together with them. And this is obviously a big family when you're talking about all the tribe of Judah. And yet they had no reason to believe David had done anything wrong other than Saul's chasing him. And he came to them. You know, he came among them without, you know, he was hiding from Saul, but he didn't hide from them. They all knew he was there. And twice they turned him in. They were like the Amalekites, you could say, in that the Amalekites were cursed by God. And it says, these people, it says, talking about both Saul and his minions and about the Ziphites as well, they have not set God before them. They were, you know, if they would have set God before them, the idea is they would have understood what was right, what was wrong, and how handing up David to Saul was wrong. David had been a hero to the nation. He had defeated Goliath. He was a man who had been faithful to Saul. Thirdly, David's final confidence, and his confidence is in God. Behold, God is my helper. Psalm 54, verse 4a. This is when he's out being chased in the wilderness. He still has confidence. I have God on my side. The Lord, God would be with David and his friends. In verse 4b, it says, the Lord is with those who uphold my life. Meaning the Lord's going to be not just with me, but he's also with those who are with me, those who are on my side. And then he, the Lord, would also be against David's enemies. Verse 5, he says, he will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. And so he tells everybody that God will repay his enemies, meaning they will be defeated. And then he prays that for that when he says, cut them off in your truth. Now, this is very interesting when you think of it. David could have done that himself, couldn't he? He had an opportunity to kill Saul, and yet he did not do that. But does that mean that they were right not to? They were right in pursuing David? No, he didn't do that. He didn't spare Saul because Saul was right. He spared Saul only because Saul was the Lord's anointed. But Saul was still wrong to chase after David. David did not kill him because he's the Lord's anointed, but that didn't mean that Saul was innocent. And so David, though he doesn't take it into his hand to kill Saul, he prays, cut them off in your truth. And so he's praying, you could say, not just for Saul's death, but for his enemy's death. Cut them off. Sounds like he's talking about killing them. At least if it's not that, it means keep them from doing what they want to do to me. And so David's friends are upheld by God, and his enemies will be repaid for their evil. His sacrifice and praise are to God. He says, I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye has seen its desires upon my enemies. Some say that this psalm, even though it's a contemplation on this time, that David wrote it after he was already through, and so he actually saw these things. Either that, or if he's doing it well, while he's going through these things, he's trusting that these things would happen, which we see they do happen. And he says, in light of that, I will freely sacrifice to you. Now, freely sacrifice, what does that mean? Well, it means I will spare no expense. My all is going to be given into sacrificing to God. My all is going to be given to the worship of God, to the service of God. You're not going to have 1 ounce of David that isn't totally dedicated to promoting and praising and serving God. And why is that? Because God had been on David's side, and David is saying, I will be on your side. This is similar to what Paul encourages us to in Romans 12. In Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You know, a lot of the Romans did give their bodies a living sacrifice. They did just what Paul said, because Nero came in there and was burning them for their faith. And Paul is saying, that's their reasonable service. And why is it reasonable to expect that we would die for Christ? Well, because he died for us and bought us salvation. And so even if we die, we go right to heaven. And we're going to die anyway, aren't we? Might as well die for the Lord. Praising God's name, praising God for who he is. We see that that's what he would do, and that's what we see him doing in other places. Psalm 8:1 is an example. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You set your glory above the heaven. God's reputation would be spread by David. We are to have that. Jesus teaches us to pray, hallowed be thy name. We sanctify it. We give him as is said about Jesus. When you hallow his name, it means it's like the only name in the world for you. And it's said about Jesus that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. He says, and has given him the name that is above every name. Meaning it's higher, better, it's that hallowed name. And so we see this in Scripture. For he has delivered me. You know, his name, what he is worthy of our praise, but also what he does. And I thought of this song, to God be the glory, great things he has done, so loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened his life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. And it goes on and it talks about perfect redemption and how we are all saved by God. You know, David praised God for his being saved from Saul. And we're saved from sin and Satan and hell and even bigger things than what David has been saved from, at least as far as this psalm is concerned. David is also saved from his sin. And yet here he's praising God because he's saved from Saul. And we have great things that we can praise God for. Application, pray without ceasing, even in difficult circumstances. This was a difficult circumstance for David. You know, sometimes you think, well, Scripture, David had God answering his prayer like that. Every time he prayed it, it was right there. That's not the case. These prayers took a while to get answered. And trust in a God who delivers. David did that, and praise God for his deliverance. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. And we thank you for your love and kindness. And Father, we praise you for your deliverance of us from sin and from death and from hell. And Father, even when you save us from sometimes our own mistakes and things that we do here, or from wicked people, and we pray you'd help us in those areas as well, and help us to be prayerful about these things. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.